All right, back in the Young Turks, we were talking about a very important story during the break about poop throwing. It is not about Republicans, believe it or not, but it is later in the program. Screaming for Change says, how corrupt is our system that Donald Trump could get all these gifts and it's not against the law? It's all a facade, two sets of justice. To be fair, it is against the law. Like, he's supposed to get them and then donate them. He can't just keep them. But when, I'd love to be a fly on the wall when someone explains that to Trump. He's going to be so mad.
Wait, what are we talking about? What is he keeping?
Well, the Saudis gave him all sorts of like extravagant gifts and sort of the Kuwaitis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know that I just did the story in the beginning about how he gets so ornery if you tell him anything he doesn't want to hear. And they're like, Donald, you got to give the tiger robes back. And he's going to be like, how dare you? Somebody fire John Kelly. What do you mean I can't just keep the gold that the Kuwaitis gave me? They just gave him gold. Anyway, members of the day are Manuel Buitrago. No way I said that right. And Russell Miller. Okay, so Manuel and Russell, you guys rock the world. Thank you for supporting the show. And in today's post game, I will tell you the story of when I was a conservative. I did a hypothetical that a liberal law professor did not like, and she banished me, she silenced me, and was it right or wrong? Have I learned from it now that I'm a lib, or am I sticking to my guns? It's a fascinating story. TYTnetwork.com/join to hear it. Forward.
All right. The defensive end for the Seattle Seahawks, Michael Bennett, is making headlines after he shared a detailed encounter that he had with police officers in Las Vegas. Now, this was an encounter that he had with the cops after the Mayweather-McGregor fight that just recently happened. And he starts off explaining the encounter by describing the fact that there were sounds which appeared to be or sounded to be gunshot wounds. Gunshots, not wounds, because you can't hear wounds, you see wounds. I'm an idiot. Anyway, let me continue. All right, so he starts off by saying that he was with a group of people. He hears what he thought and what people thought were gunshots, and so people start to run. At that point, cops approach him and they single him out. Now, I'm going to give you his exact wording. This is a statement that he released on Twitter to share his story. He said, after the fight, while heading back to my hotel, several hundred people heard what sounded like gunshots. Like many of the people in the area, I ran away from the sound looking for safety. Las Vegas police officers singled me out and pointed their guns at me for doing nothing more than simply being a black man in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, he details what they did to him physically. As I laid on the ground, remember at this point they've apprehended him, complying with his commands to not move, he placed his gun near my head and warned me that if I moved, he would blow my head off. Terrified and confused by what was taking place, a second officer came over and me doing nothing more than simply, I'm sorry, and forcefully jammed his knee into my back, making it difficult for me to breathe. They then clinched the handcuffs on my wrist so tight that my fingers went numb. Now, that was his explanation of the encounter. TMZ managed to obtain some surveillance of what occurred, and they released it on their website. We have a portion of that surveillance for you, and it seems to corroborate Bennett's version of the encounter. I want to show that to you guys right now.
So I got you. I was here with my friends. They told us to get out. Everybody ran. Did he ask me a question, sir? Okay, man.
Put your palms together.
So later on, they placed him in a patrol car and then later let him go when they realized who he was. Again, he is the defensive end for the Seattle Seahawks. He is not any type of criminal. He did absolutely nothing wrong. In fact, after an investigation, they found out that those sounds weren't even from a gun. And he is planning on filing a civil lawsuit against the police department.
Okay, so
a civil rights lawsuit.
Okay, so he said that they were gonna. They said they were gonna blow his effing head off. Now the TMZ video starts later, as you can tell. Guy starts recording, you go look down. At that point, the cop's got the knee on his back, just like Bennett described. And so look, if there was an APB out for a guy who looked just like Bennett, they better have it contemporaneously from the time, and they better put it out. But think about what happened and how impossible that is. They thought they heard gunshots, and police were there because of the fight and responded immediately. How could there be already a report about an incident that happened seconds ago describing who did it? That's pretty much impossible. If they have it, boy, they should share it with the public immediately. So in reality, it appears that what happened is, to be fair, everybody thought there was a gunshot. Bennett thought there was a gunshot, that's why he was running away, like almost everyone else was, right? Cops hear what they think is a gunshot, they look into a crowd and they're like, large black man, let's arrest him. Why? No, but it's a literal question. Why him out of all the people in the crowd? Why pick that guy as the one who would have a gun and who did the shooting when everyone is running? Other than race and the fact that maybe he's large, but why is a large guy more likely to have a gun than a small guy? It makes no sense. And I say that genuinely because I didn't grow up racist, so I'm constantly confused by it. Why the hell would you assume a black guy has a gun? And I guess, but the cops and a lot of people in the country are trained to believe black people are dangerous, and if they're large, they're more dangerous. Danger, danger, danger. So if you got a crowd of people, hundreds of people, it was a McGregor fight, thousands of people, just find the largest black guy and arrest him.
Yeah,
I mean, what kind of police work is that? That's insane.
Right, it's lazy police work, and also this perfectly illustrates why the stereotypes that are perpetrated over and over and over again in the media, not just now, but through this country's history, have such a pervasive impact on society as a whole, on the way we do policing in the country, right? They have bought into those stereotypes. They have bought into, or I should say, they have those biases, the cops do, right? And so yeah, that is their instinct. Their instinct is to go after the first big black person that they see. That's the reason why, even though there was a crowd of people running because they thought they heard gunshots, they immediately went to the one black person there. And also, let me just be clear about something. Look, it's one thing if you made a mistake as a cop, that's the first person you go for, but they don't even want to hear him out. He's trying to talk, and they're threatening him.
They pulled a gun and put it to his head. But so, think about that. The chance that you have the right guy is so small, but you're willing to threaten to execute the man on the spot who is enormously likely to be innocent. Out of a crowd of thousands of people, you have no evidence of anything. You just heard the sound. You run in, you grab the largest guy. Maybe it's based on size. I mean, I don't know. Are the right wingers really going to tell us? No, it's just a wild, wild coincidence. It could have been a small white guy, and they just happened to grab.
Well, they are going to say that.
They are.
They are going to say that. They are going to make excuses for it.
Do you really believe that? How could you possibly believe that?
Because they don't care. They don't care, okay? They don't care. They're much more interested in, and not all conservatives, but certainly the ones that we hear about and hear from in the media, they are much more interested in painting Black Lives Matter as a terrorist organization, as opposed to looking at this deep injustice that we have in the country. And of course, it disproportionately impacts minorities, disproportionately impacts black people, but it impacts every single one of us, because when you embolden cops to this point where they feel safe enough to pull a gun and point it to someone's head without even knowing whether or not this person is guilty of committing any crime, well, then anyone can be a victim of that kind of stuff. He's lucky he didn't get shot, right?
No. He's enormously lucky, because at that point, when the cop has pulled his gun, anything you do slightly wrong, and he's dead man. And then they'll get into his life and they'll say, did he ever smoke pot? Did he have it coming? You pulled him out of a goddamn crowd. You blindly pulled him out of a crowd, and then they would blame him afterwards. And then you know what people would say, and thank God there's at least some video of it. Well, did he comply with the officer? If he didn't comply with a deeply racist officer who pulled him out of a crowd for no goddamn reason, he should have been executed. That's what they would say in hindsight, not because that's theory, it's because that's what they have said in the past over and over and over again. So he sits for the national anthem. The whole league should sit for the national anthem. Why do you think they sit? Not because of the invented reasons of the right wing that they hate the troops. What the hell are you talking about? They didn't say anything about the troops. Kaepernick sat because he said, look, there's a deep problem in the country we all have to address together, which is that black individuals are disproportionately singled out by cops. Michael Bennett was one of the first people to join him in that protest. Kaepernick is still banned from the league, de facto banned. You're telling me he's not one of the top 96 quarterbacks? If you don't know football at all, if you think that, that's a moronic, ridiculous thing to say. He led a team to the Super Bowl. So, but he's banned from the league because why? He pointed out a thing that is both statistically undeniably true and something that African Americans live with every single day. And one more piece of credit to Michael Bennett. He at least knows his privilege. So he doesn't have white privilege, obviously, as we just saw, but he has the privilege of being rich and famous. So after keeping him in a cop car for a while and after having nearly executed him, they're like, oh, he's famous. They're like, sorry, you get to go. Now imagine if he wasn't famous. Imagine he wasn't a football player or rich. And Michael Bennett, to his great credit, has imagined that. And he's like, God knows what would have happened to me and how long they would have kept him in prison, etc. They didn't have any evidence in the first place. So he says, look, at least I'm lucky. They could look me up and see, oh, damn, oh no, we're gonna get in trouble because he's famous. We gotta let him go.
So everyone was mad about the protest, because that was one of the coincidences of this whole thing. Michael Bennett is the next biggest name that has started to do the national anthem protest before games. And to join Kaepernick, as you said. So imagine your disdain, your anger, every time this guy sits down or says something that you don't like. That now he doesn't support the troops, he hates your flag. Oh, he's so reverse racist. So when you think about that and you hate his lack of respect for the things you've created, this straw man you've built, how much do you think, do you respect his life? Do you respect the fact that he was wondering if he's gonna see his daughters ever again, if he's ever gonna see his wife again? He detailed all this in his little letter. So if you don't care about that, why should he care about your perceptions about his disdain for the country? Why do you think he should care about what you feel when you don't even care about his life? Right. His life, whether or not he's gonna see his children again. So why the respect that you expect him to have for you should go both ways. If you don't think it should, then you're the problem. You're the beginning of the problem. And by the way, when you watch, and I know we've said this many times, but when you watch your national anthem at home, or you go to the bar and watch your damn team, if you don't stand up and put your hand over your heart and take your motherfucking hat off, you are a piece of shit. You're a hypocrite, and you have nothing else to say about this. If you're sitting down when that national anthem is playing, oh man, oh you should be sent away. You hate our troops. You hate our flag.
I've been to 1,000 stadiums. Some people do stand up. Most people do not stand up. They don't put their hand on their heart. They don't do any of that goofy stuff.
I was in the stadium yesterday.
They don't do it. They don't do it.
Most people are in the concession stands.
Yeah.
They're going to the
bathroom. Dare you be getting a hot dog while our beloved national anthem is playing? You don't mean it for a second. You just want a reason to hate these guys. Look, Colin Kaepernick is an American hero. Later, I guarantee it, write it down in stone, he will be treated as a hero. Like just like they did with the 1968 Olympics, just like with Muhammad Ali objecting to the war. Later, decades later, they'll say, wow, that was so brave. He risked his whole career, lost millions upon millions of dollars to make a statement about other African Americans who were being treated poorly. But now we're in the middle of the gross, ridiculous discrimination against an American hero today. We're in the middle of it, and we're in the middle of this hateful country. Not everybody, I think the majority of people actually would support Kaepernick, and nobody ever asked. They always say like, oh, there's a couple of Trump supporters who don't like Kaepernick, we should ban him from the league. How about all the people who like Kaepernick? How about all the people who agree with him? Oh, they don't count, they're black or they're white or they're liberals. I don't care. Well, I only listen to conservatives because the owners happen to be billionaires. What a wonderful coincidence. Almost all of them are Republicans. What a wonderful coincidence. Robert Kraft showed up at the inauguration with Donald Trump holding hands. Oh, what a wonderful coincidence. And then somehow liberals are running the country? No. The billionaires are the ones that set the rules, literally in the NFL. So Michael Bennett's an American hero, Kaepernick's an American hero. The entire league should sit for the national anthem until something is done. And they're not asking for the moon and the sky. JR's right, the part that was the most moving is, he said, I kept thinking about what if he pulls the trigger and I never get to see my daughters again. When that happens to any American and you don't stand up for them, you're the one who's unpatriotic. You're the one who doesn't believe in the American idea that we were all created equal.
All right, we got to toss to break, but during the break, I would really like for us to toss to the video that we didn't get to. This is actually Michael Bennett addressing what happened during a press conference, and I think it's powerful, and you can see the emotion. Stick around, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Do I think every police officer is bad? No, I don't believe that. Do I believe there's some people out there that judge people on the color of their skin? I do believe that, and I'm just focused on trying to push forward and keep continuously championing the quest for justice for people, keep pushing equality for oppressed people, and that's just what what I'm about and what I keep doing.
You said no matter how many sacks I get, no matter how many Pro Bowls I get to, I am a black man in America, and there are people who judge me based solely on that. I wonder if that lesson is just... I don't know if you reflected on that since the incident.
I reflect on that constantly and daily. I think it's, I try to tell my daughters every single day that they matter and that, you know.
All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. One tweet for you guys. CJ writes in, they released him after they found out who he was, referring to Michael Bennett. So glad he wasn't just a normal black guy or he'd need a lawyer. The degree to which his life would have been ruined even if they didn't shoot him, if he was just a normal person, not an NFL player. I mean, God knows. I mean, how long do they have him in prison for? I guess maybe he can't go to his job the next day. And then he's fired. I mean, like all these cascading consequences that happen to people, but we don't see it, and so we ignore it. Okay, but on a fun note, first of all, I have the Seahawks defense as my fantasy football league.
Everyone cares.
Okay, so Michael Bennett's on my team. I'm on Michael Bennett's team. I just want everybody to know that. And I'm gonna, even though Martellus Bennett, I don't think he's drafted, I'm going to go draft him. I'm going to go pick him up. Anyway, that's his brother. The fun note is the poll from yesterday. Hillary Clinton lost the general election because of either A, Bernie Sanders, or B, Hillary Clinton. TYTnetwork.com/lost. There's nearly 10,000 votes on it. I love that people bothered to vote. Bernie Sanders is now coming in at 2.3% and Hillary Clinton at 97.7%, which coincidentally is the exact opposite of how the mainstream media is reacting to it. They're like, well, I didn't even point this out. JR said it off air. In that CNN segment I showed you earlier in the show, Gloria Borges is like, well, it's not all Bernie's fault. So I guess maybe like it's just 97.7% Bernie's fault that Hillary lost.
Man, we're doing a real bad job acting as a propaganda arm for Hillary, aren't we?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I must have missed that memo. Yeah. All right, what's next, Hannah?
All right. Members of the Mexican Red Cross have traveled to Texas to help with the relief efforts for victims of Hurricane Harvey. Now, even though there are questionable tensions between the United States and Mexico over Donald Trump's proposed wall policy, there are officials in Mexico who feel that it is their obligation and responsibility to lend a helping hand and show solidarity with the victims of Hurricane Harvey. Now, one of the Mexican Red Cross volunteers said the following, "We all know that there are some agreements and disagreements between governments, but for the Mexican Red Cross and the volunteers from the Mexican Red Cross, we are more than glad to be helpful and do some stuff to help people." Which is strange because I thought Mexico only sends criminals and rapists, but I guess in this case they send people that actually help Americans. Now, some 25 trailers were being prepared with rice, beans, coffee, and chocolate, along with 300 beds, 9 generators, mobile kitchens, telecommunications equipment, and personnel, including including paramedics and doctors. And that's according to a statement by Mexico's foreign ministry. Mexico is ready to help those affected by Harvey. It's a demonstration of our neighborliness, a show of solidarity. And that's according to one official in Mexico, Carlos Sada, who is the deputy foreign minister for North America. So this is obviously very welcome by people who have suffered in Texas as a result of the hurricane. And we might actually need even more help from Mexico, considering the fact that Hurricane Irma is expected to hit South Florida in coming days. And it is currently a Category 5 storm. But by the time it hits Florida, it is alleged that it'll be a Category 4. It's a nightmare. We're dealing with severe weather conditions. People are scared. They're panicking. There are people who are homeless right now as a result. And so any help we can get is, of course, appreciated.
All right, some context here. Does Mexico help other countries that are in need too? Yes. Do we help other countries that are in need? Yes, we do that a lot. And so we and credit to us for that. That's decent of us to do that. But so I know what some right wingers will say. They'll say, oh, it's just a PR stunt. They're just doing this because of Trump. Except, no, they've done this every time, including Hurricane Katrina back in 2005. They sent in a lot of help. And it was actually the first time that Mexican armed forces had been deployed, in this case, in Texas, since 1846. Okay. But they, in this case, they've sent that in. Oh, no, I shouldn't have said that. Now the right wing's like, oh, no, the Mexicans are taking over. That's exactly why they're here. No, they helped during Hurricane Katrina, and it was greatly appreciated, along with many other countries. And they're helping in this case. Now, but that's exactly our point. It's insane to think that they're only sending criminals and rapists. And anyone with two bits of sense should know that. But you know, look, there's a teary-eyed refugee woman in Houston. Mm-hmm. And she was really moved by the offer of assistance from Mexico, because boy, she really needed it. And she now realizes that it was wrong to try to shut out Mexicans.
I have her statement because it really stood out to me. She's in her 60s. Look, I don't know what her political identity is, so I don't want to speculate on that. But she did say, we don't have time right now to put up borders and block Mexico. We need to come all of us together and work together. And I like that she made that statement because it's true, right? You know, you hear these people who are talking about America first and, oh, anyone who doesn't want America first and doesn't want to isolate all of our allies or just globalists. No, no, but we need help. Like, we need other countries. We need allies, right? And when it comes to these types of humanitarian efforts, of course they're welcome. Of course we want their help. And other countries want our help. And that's not to say that, you know, we basically give a middle finger to American citizens and give all this foreign aid to other countries, right? But it's just interesting that when it comes to Mexico, for some reason, the right wing only looks at the bad stuff, right? And by the way, they just completely generalize about the entire Mexican population, about Mexican immigrants, about what they actually contribute or don't contribute to society. They don't, it's like they turn a complete blind eye to all the good things that come from our southern neighbor.
Yeah, and whether it applies to this particular woman or not, I just want all of you to, I don't think I'm asking for much, to empathize with other people and look at the whole context without it having to actually apply to you personally.
Exactly.
Like, so every once in a while there'll be, you know, in this case, right wingers, in the other examples that we've listed, like Rick Santorum, he wanted to limit medical damages, and then his wife had medical damages, and he didn't want to abide by his own limits. And they say, he said, but yeah, but that's my wife. Don't wait for it to be your wife or you before you say, hey, oh, maybe people are really hurt in, you know, situation X or Y or Z, or maybe there's really decent people from those people that I consider the others. Just open up your mind for a second and realize that maybe, just maybe, we're all human.
Right. I mean,
literally, Ralph Peters from Fox News wrote an article today saying other people's lives don't matter as much as ours. And he thinks it's the intellectual elite who thinks that human life is precious.
What?
Yeah, he said, who cares if we kill a million North Koreans?
Well,
there's
wow.
Just some folks are so bad. And my God, if anyone that he knows ever had to you know, was in a war where they got nuked. He's saying we should nuke North Korea, right?
I just, what a moron. Like, I know some of you guys get upset when I use words like that because it's a personal attack, yada, yada. But really, I mean, is that not a moronic thing to say or to support? I mean, do you not think for half a second about the ramifications of doing something like that? Not only are you killing all of these innocent North Koreans who have no say over the craziness of Kim Jong-un, but you're also affecting our allies. You're leading to potential unrest in that part of the world that could impact other countries. I mean, doesn't think about the ripple effect, doesn't think about the domino effect, doesn't think about all the innocent lives, or actually he does think about the innocent lives that'll be lost, but he doesn't care about that. He's a moron. The fact that he even has a platform to share that moronic idea, an idea that my college students would be educated enough to not make, right? Like, how dumb is that person? He's dumb. He's dumb. I know it's a personal attack, but you can't call it anything else. That's dumb. He hasn't even thought it through.
What's the only thing worse is Rupert Murdoch, who hires him to write stuff like that.
Right, of course, because Rupert Murdoch loves moronic people.
Yeah, because Murdoch's not stupid, but he likes war and he profits from it. So that's why he hires immoral monsters like Ralph Peters. All right, let's do the next story.
All right. A mayoral candidate in Charlotte, North Carolina, boasted about the fact that she is white as one of her top qualifications for getting elected. Now, luckily, she's pretty low in the polls and is not likely to get elected. But here is Kimberly Page Barnett. And in a Facebook post, she said, "Vote for me, Republican and smart, white, traditional." Apparently not smart enough to know proper grammar, but that's okay. That's okay. So she thinks being white is the one of the top qualifications that she has. Now, she also made some statements in regard to low-income individuals living in Charlotte who might need some help. And she said, "I don't think we should encourage more lower-income people to come to Charlotte. We should attract high-income people." So you kind of get a sense of what kind of person Kimberly is. Now,
that's a very sophisticated line of thinking. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, she's smart and white.
Oh, well, that's a twofer.
Okay. Now, the North Carolina GOP released a statement condemning her. But even in their statement condemning her, they couldn't help but get political and place blame on a Democrat in that state. Okay, so let's hear from Robin Hayes, who is the chairman of the North Carolina GOP. "Any suggestion that a candidate is more or less qualified for political office based on their skin color alone is offensive to North Carolina Republicans, and we condemn it. This type of suggestion has no place in our public discourse." So that portion of the statement is fine. And then it continues on with "violent confrontations in the streets under Mayor Roberts, who is a Democrat, we have seen the dangers to public safety when a Charlotte mayor fails the leadership test of bringing all people together." What are you okay, you are making a statement in regard to something disgusting that a mayoral candidate who's a Republican made. Okay, just leave it at that. Leave the politics out of it. I get it, you want to jab the Democrat, but the Democrat in this case didn't have anything to do with the statement that the Republican made on her Facebook page. So why don't you condemn that and move on?
Look, I was going to give the North Carolina GOP credit. At least they're disowning her and saying that it was the wrong thing to say. Okay, credit where credit is due, so she doesn't speak for all Republicans. But they can't help themselves, right? So, okay, our person might be racist, but we really hate the Democratic mayor. Dude, just do that in another press release. We get it that you're running against them. That's totally fine. You don't have to disarm for the whole campaign. Just simple, don't point out your race while running. That's it, we're done with it, right? But she's not very smart. I don't know if you can tell. So I thought for a second that maybe she didn't mean it. But then you think about it, and she put white traditional.
No, she meant.
No, you know what she meant. And unfortunately, that's the state of some folks in the GOP these days. All right, we got to run the Myanmar story for the online folks when we return. All right, back on TYT. First, a super sad story, then a super funny story, only on TYT. And then after that, we'll do the postgame. All right, what's up, Anna?
All right. There is currently civil unrest in Myanmar, specifically regarding an ethnic Muslim minority in the region that is referred to as the Rohingya. Now, it's devastating because the persecution that they faced has gotten so bad that they are fleeing the country as refugees and entering Bangladesh, hoping to find some refuge there. In fact, over the last 10 days, hundreds of thousands of people have fled. About 125,000 is the lower estimate that we're seeing in reports right now. The latest violence in Myanmar's northwestern Rakhine state began on August 25th when Rohingya insurgents attacked dozens of police posts and an army base. The ensuing clashes and a military counteroffensive have killed at least 400 people and triggered the exodus of villagers to Bangladesh. Now, to give you a little bit of a backstory, the Rohingya Muslims are not given the same rights as the majority of people that live in Myanmar. The majority are Buddhist, and they don't consider the Rohingya Muslim citizens. And again, they are not given the same rights. They're in fact considered illegal. They're not even allowed to be there. And so since they have been treated unfairly, in many cases their villages have been burnt down, women have been raped, children have faced brutal violence. Some of the insurgents have retaliated against these police posts that belong to the Buddhist community. And the counteroffensive, of course, has used disproportionate force, and they do target innocent individuals, and as a result, they're fleeing the country. It's really bad. Now, Malaysia believes that the matter of sustained violence and discrimination against the Rohingyas should be elevated to a higher international forum, and that's according to the Malaysian foreign minister. And there are other politicians in other countries that are speaking out because they want more attention brought and they want more action taken, especially by the leader of Myanmar. Now, Turkey's president Erdogan had a statement as well. He has said that the violence against the Rohingya Muslims constituted genocide, and told Suu Kyi, who is the leader of Myanmar, that the violence was of deep concern to the Muslim world, and he was sending his foreign minister to Bangladesh.
Now, how is that for irony?
It could not be more ironic coming from the Turkish president. Funny that he considers that genocide. Anyway.
Okay, so.
And it is genocide, by the way, just to be clear. But he's a little bit of a hypocrite.
Yeah, they targeted an ethnic minority and drove them, marched them out of the country. What does that sound like? So, look, I'm glad that Erdogan is trying to fight for the Rohingya Muslims, and we all should, to make sure that they are not treated in this brutal way. But the temerity of him to mention the word genocide when Turkey doesn't recognize the Armenian genocide, where an ethnic minority was targeted and driven out of the country, that's an irony too ridiculous for him to bring out. But look, onto many of the points in this story. So first off, the lack of humanity that we show towards each other so consistently is, of course, very depressing. And it is unfortunately popular in Myanmar to do this. And they have a leader who led a democratic movement and who was, you know, lauded the worldwide for her efforts to topple the authoritarian government in Myanmar. And she sits largely silent as an ethnic minority, in this case Muslims, are being butchered. So it's not just the Muslims who are fleeing that are saying this. By the way, just like in the case of the Armenian genocide, why do we think they fled? They just decided to, 125,000 people in this case, just decided to get up one morning and run towards the border? No, they're running for their lives. And even if you didn't believe them because there's something wrong with you, all of the human rights groups that are monitoring Myanmar say that is in fact exactly what's happening. Satellite imagery that Human Rights Watch has seen shows 700 buildings burnt down in one village alone. And there are reports that they're putting the Muslim civilians into huts and buildings and then burning the buildings down with the people still inside. There's a report of a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old who had their heads chopped off. So look, the world is outraged when ISIS does this to ethnic minorities, and they should be. And the whole world has gone to war against ISIS. Now, in this case, it happens to be the Muslims who are the minorities and the victims. And we all largely sit idly by and do nothing. So as horribly ironic as Erdogan's comments are, at least he's offering assistance and financial help to Bangladesh, who's now taken, since the conflict originally began, apparently about 400,000 refugees. I don't know if you know this, Bangladesh is not in great economic shape. For them to do that is, they should receive all the credit in the world, and we should all be helping Bangladesh and trying to make sure that we direct Myanmar in the right direction, which is to say, look, there's going to be at a minimum economic consequences if you don't stop what other human rights organizations, including Fortify Rights and others, are saying is a pogrom that's happening right in front of our eyes. So unfortunately, inhumanity to other people is not an easy problem to solve. So some people want to say, oh, it's easy, only the Muslims do it. They are inherently this way, or their texts cannot be interpreted in any other way, so it's just them, and they're the ones who need reform, etc. And in fact, the example of the peaceful religion that is most often used is Buddhism. They say, well, the Buddhists aren't violent like the Muslims, so it's obviously the Muslim religion that's the problem. Well, here we have Buddhists chopping kids' heads off and burning them alive. Does that mean because Buddhists are inherently worse people, or Buddhism is an inherently worse religion? Of course not. But this is what happens when minorities are targeted and attacked. And so as a species, we have got to find a way to end this. Look, I have a couple of suggestions. One is, we gotta stop separating one another based on race, religion, and all these other external factors. Religion is not the only factor, but it is among the factors. If there was not Muslims and Buddhists, people wouldn't be dying there, likely. Or they'd find a different reason. But whatever the reason is, it's because people got separated to us and them. And whenever that happens, massacres are quick to follow. And this is just the latest one. We've got to get these people help immediately. And God bless the people of Bangladesh who are helping.
We had a lighter story to follow up, and I just don't feel right covering it. So we'll save it for tomorrow, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Sorry, guys. It's a very, very heavy story, obviously, but in heavy times. Let's take a break here. And for the members, we'll come back, and I'll tell you the controversy I had in law school when I was a conservative, as I promised you. And then, yeah, well, more stuff too, but let's just leave it alone. TYTnetwork.com/join to get the postgame. Okay, bye-bye.